Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Thursday evening. The weather's been so much better here, and it's been a lot cooler. We're just praising the Lord. We don't deserve such good weather. God is so good. Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful holy word. We know that you've given Brother Freedom already a scripture. We thank you for the purity, the beauty of your word, and how it's going to be anointed by the Holy Ghost. Lord, thank you for how you're going to give Brother Freedom great confidence and great boldness. And he's going to speak whatever you tell him. We'll give you praise. Touch the listener in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I just pray in Jesus' wonderful name. That name is above every name. There is no name like that name. And there's no other name nowhere where we can get to heaven only through that wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, we know that that name, his body, became that sacrifice. Lord, how you spared us, you saved us, helped us to move in a different direction than where we're all headed. Lord, we know it's quite a turnaround, but many times it takes a while before we really get our balance to things and we get circled around where we're going in the right direction. But I truly believe we need you in such a powerful way in this hour. We pray that you refresh us this night for your special touch, for your mighty hand that's not short, that it cannot touch us. Heal us, forgive us, strengthen us this night in a very special way, in a very lasting way, in a very high way that's above everything. Lord, we pray for your anointing in this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going back to the 23rd Psalm, but there's a lot to this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, in America, for probably a lot of years, we've never really had, as a nation, we haven't had to want. But I think that's going to change here, where we're going to, I'm seeing it more and more, and there's some people I see, and what you call the little people, and they're having it tough. I get letters from all over the United States, want me to send them money. And I wish I could send them more, but I don't really have it. But without funds, there becomes wants. These people that's trying to touch the kids around the world, children around the world, without funds, it's for sure those kids, children are going to have wants. And maybe some of the giving will help them to somewhat. But I believe it's just like the old tradition. You got to teach people not to eat corn, but to plant corn where they can teach themselves. In our whole society, that's godly society. I believe that we have to, all of us have to work until the day that we cross over the other side. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many times in Christmas time we want things? Sometimes we get them, sometimes we don't. But wants, our want list, it's something that we say can't afford, but once in a while we desire it. What we call our want list. But I truly believe the Lord's speaking here about a spiritual want. And I truly believe there's a lot of people out there sitting you right in the face tonight. You're not where you should be with God. And your want with the Lord is not being filled to where it should be. As it goes on down, your cup should runneth over. And we need to teach people to have a real experience with God. It's just like me, and if I was out here, I've been around construction equipment all my life. But I thought, and it was in the old days when there were a lot of jobs going on, well, I'm going to have me a construction equipment. But the first thing I have to do is get people that know how to operate the equipment. And that's the same with God. God has us to be operated through Him. And you don't learn this from nobody, but only the Lord Himself. And I truly believe that God wants to touch us all. It is very special. And He will qualify us as our due internal. He used to qualify a lot of operators. And But R.G. Eternal was a man of faith. He knew God. But we need to walk in that same way that we walk to please God. Now the natural, Robert R.G. Eternal, he gave 90% of what he made to the Lord. He did all those big things on 10%. In the time that he was doing this, other contractors were breaking, falling apart, and businesses were falling apart. R.G. Letourneau was about the world's largest contractor, plus he would start building earth equipment for himself, and then he started building it for other people. But God prospered him. But on the other side, you know, that's the natural. But how do we get close to God? We get it by seeking Him. We get it by searching for Him. Because I am persuaded if we search for Him, we will surely find Him. And if He sees that you're directing for Him, God's going to make it easy for you. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong. I've used the scripture before, on the behalf whose heart is made perfect toward Him. So when you start making your heart perfect toward the Lord, God sees it. He sees everything you do. He sees it every time you smile, every time you frown. All these things that we think are just, you know, they're just not even, but God sees all that. He keeps a record. His eye is over the righteous. Now, if you're out here living in a shady, God's going to take, because He cannot look upon sin. But in the same respect, you start praying to God, and your prayers are heard. When we draw nigh to God, He automatically draws nigh to us. When we resist, and that's what we all have to learn to do, is resist the powers of darkness. Set aside the weights and sins that so easily beset us, and let us run that race with patience. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. Know that your labor is not in vain. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro, searching to see if someone will serve Him. I truly believe this. I don't know why He even looked at me, because there's a lot of people out here 1,000 times better than I am. But it must have been because I had a desire to serve the Lord. That's the only thing I had. I didn't have nothing else. But apparently it worked for me. And I think it'll work for a lot of people. We got to seek God. You don't have to. You don't. None of these things. Let me back up. No, Bond, as a Christian, you don't have to do it. You have to want to do it or don't do it. It's up to you how far you want to get to the Lord. I truly believe if you just go half-hearted way, you'll just have a half-hearted experience, which is a poor experience. I believe if you go all the way, all the way by the Savior leads you, He restores your soul. He'll lead you in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. All these things, God will help you. He says, He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. When you're purposed to serve the Lord, God's going to help you to sort of live a comfortable life. I believe it. You know, people say, well, if you live for God, you're in trouble. No. All that live godly shall suffer persecution. Yeah, that's right. But God's way is a very smoother road than out the way of the world. The pathway of the just is a shining light that shines more and more to that most perfect day. It's a special way. But we got a desire. You know, I see a lot of Christians, and this is what I believe they do think, well, I'm just going to accept the Lord because I don't really have to do anything now until I can live like I want all the time. And this is, and when I, if something happened, to pull the plug to say, I'm okay with God because that's what it is. I don't believe that. I believe you got a purpose. And the Word of God goes back to the whole Old Testament New. It's to those that seek God that God moved mighty upon. There's no halfway experience. I don't believe it's all the way. I truly believe we got to seek God. We got to love God. We got to walk in Him. We should love Jesus so much because He died for us. He became my sacrifice. He became my hope. He became my joy, my peace. Everything that I need, He satisfies. And He keeps us. Why should not I want to serve Him all the way? But a lot of people, when I first started out, we don't like any Christians like Brother Freedom around us. God don't need people like that. Well, what kind of people need? I guess they want somebody that's going to, whoever's leading the church, I guess whatever they say, do. They want to say, go fishing, whatever it is. I guess that's what it is. But when they follow God, I believe that nobody has the right to put pressure on you when you're seeking God. If you're a true Christian, you should encourage that one instead of discouraging him. She should want to have that desire, love, suffer. If you have the love, you should start having these God's nature in your life. How do you think? Is love part of you? Well, if it is, then you need to go a little farther. Well, do you like to talk about? No, you don't want to talk about people. That's another good one. If you see something laying someplace, you don't want to. There's no name on it. You want to pick it up, or you just leave it slip. There's another. Those, all these things are what God's built on. If I have hatred, I get angry. There's places for me to start working on my life, because I believe that God wants me to work on my life to get rid of these bad things before I can actually work with Him or in Him. I truly believe it. We still have parts that's not so good even then. But there are sometimes the things trouble us that we don't know all through our whole assess there. But God understands. And God, I believe, like I said the other night, and I believe tonight, if an alcoholic would at least try and for 6 months, it's better than being a slut every day for a bottle. He's trying. I think God will forgive him something like that. But when we deliberately, day after day, year after year, stay in that old same rut, God's not pleased. When some men, when things happen a certain way, it does something. It's hard to keep yourself under control. We have to, but still the lust is there. We got to be truthful. It bothers you. And that's what hopefully it gets when we don't bother us. But we grow and God makes us come into maturity in Him. And that's when we can't judge someone else. We got to judge ourselves. We judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. You know, we need to remember that God is the righteous judge. And if we start comparing ourselves with someone else for us to justify ourselves, God's not pleased with that. We don't justify ourselves. We humble ourselves. Lord, I praise you this day. I thank you that you're wonderful. I thank you that you can help me. You can keep me walking in a straight and narrow. I know that I'm not the best, but I know that you are the best. And I'm going to stand in with you, and I'm going to do the best I can do in you. And I believe that God hears that type of prayer. And God will work with you. I know He will. But if you get out here and start condemning other people and judging other people, and the Bible says we're not to do those kind of things. We're not to criticize. We're not to put people down. You know, sometimes I've seen people, they made a mistake when there's a young Christian and so many people have just put them down. That's the time just to encourage them. Oh, you know what? It's not the end of the line. Yeah, keep going. It's going to get easier for you. Time goes through. But we have it's like the inmates in jail. That's the way prisoners are. They want to let you know that they're better than that one there. But see, God's not interested in that. God wants to see us to open up ourselves to Him and say, Lord, oh, I'm so wretched. I have no help but you, and I do. Would you cleanse me tonight? Now I want to live for you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. And I want to move with you. Glory to God, come down because the glory of God comes down. But we've been taught in many places, not let your guard down. And that's what shame on us. We get, that's why there's so many divorces in churches. There's so many pastors that have gone down the hill, but this is why. We need to repent daily if need be. We don't need it. Well, then just the next day you're going to need it. Don't get us up here too. Bible says, lest we fall. And that's what we do spiritually. We get up here. Oh, pride just takes us over. You know, I knew a man. He passed away, but I knew him. That's been 25 years ago. And I started a ministry for him. But in that time, he chewed tobacco. That time he chewed that tobacco, he was the sweetest man. Someone went up there and said, you've got to get rid of that tobacco now. You know, you just got to get rid of that. Your God ain't going to use you. He got so hard. He got so prideful. He did. His whole system changed. He got angry. He had patience with people. But when he was down there, had that little problem, he was the sweetest man. I think sometimes God keeps us in little problems on purpose because he can handle us there. But when we get up here, we're so prideful, he can't handle us. No one else can handle us. In your life, it's not a testimony. You're a joke. You're a problem. And that's what we get. We get so critical. We get so demanding. We got to do this way or else. No, it's God's way. And we're not to judge our brother. We're to love our brother. Love suffers long as time. Love is not puffed up. Though I walk through the valley, shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, I've been in that place quite a few times. I can truly say when I was in the United States Army, I walked as an overcomer. I put that demands on myself. I'm going to live what God had me to be because people are looking at me. I'm going to live what I'm doing is real. When I got out of that sometime, then this pride deal comes in. Oh, a lot of things that come in. You know, we're trying to justify ourselves. We're not, I'm better than, you know, you don't say these things, but sometimes you're thinking this. And this is wrong when he is our shepherd. Truly, I don't have no wants. I don't have no fear. God has not given the spirit of fear, but power, love. And out there tonight, there may some of you, you know, you're hearing the greatest men on earth speak, but they don't have the message of Gamakarabak. The glory cloud is from heaven. It's heavenly food that you might search. You're going to live very lean without this infilling of God's glory. The glory of God, oh, my cup runs over. Oh, you suffer long and kind. You water not yourself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Doth not behave itself unseemly. You know, sometimes Christians, we behave for a little bit. We want to be seen in some places. We want to cast men judgment calls and other kinds. You know, you better do this just right. If you don't do it just like I'm doing, you're on your way to the wrong place. No. That's not love. Love wants to love his brother. Love wants to provide for his brother. And that's through prayer. I was thinking today about praying. Our prayers have to be the most wonderful part of us that moves mightily, that people don't see it. But God uses it in the way of the glory cloud. And that when you pray, glory to God, it moves mountains. It changes souls. It's out for the wrong direction for eternity. It brings a turnaround because you've taken time to pray. You've taken time to intercede for the behalf of that one. And God wants to start doing that, that we intercede for the half whose hearts is not made perfect toward him. And we have to call upon God constantly. Thou preparest a table before me. The Lord has prepared for us a wonderful table. Oh, it's so wonderful. You know, I didn't realize it when I prayed for a long time, and then I prayed for a long time, about 8 or quite a few years. But one of the first things the Lord did is to read this wonderful word. Only I didn't read it like most people, just eat it. I've got Bibles and just tore them off. I just wore them out. Reading so many words. But I think a lot of that is, I've learned later, it says, the letter killeth, but the Spirit of God brings forth life. The letter. Sometimes we can get so judgmental on this holy word, that it literally kills people. This Bible is powerful. That's why we need the infilling of God's glory upon us. It mellows this down, the glory of God. It softens it. But what God wants is power. It becomes great. The anointing shakes. Does the invisible things that man cannot see. But it does a work that only God can do. But see, we link up with God. We do just a little part. That's what they call the pilot system. You just do a little bit, you'll see a whole people say. You know, like today I was talking to my brother. And I remember a fellow in Redmond, Oregon, I led in the Lord. We worked the same job together. And he told me he'd been watching me for a long time without water, asked what I had. I said, "Buck, I haven't got nothing but the Lord." He says, "You seem to be happy." I said, "It makes you happy." I said, "Would you like to have?" He said, "Yeah, I would." I met the Lord that night. I've never seen Buck since that time. See, we're to live a life to the degree that other someone sees what we have and says, "What do you got? I want that, what you have." That's what it's supposed to be. You don't go over there and waylay them or have it out with them. No. They're seeing the fruit of your wonderful agreement with the Lord. My cup runs over. Oh, my table. Oh, he fills the table. Oh, glory to God. The glory to God. Surely my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't like to brag, and I'm always saying, because I think the Lord told me I need to say it tonight. But I think in jail ministry, I've seen around 500 souls saved. And these guys got so on fire for God that the jailers didn't want them in the jail. They'd pray for everybody. Let's pray for them. Here's these inmates and pray. Here's what Brother Freedom, we'll do what he, and they do it. And people were getting healed in there. Oh, it was just like that jail was getting alive. I don't think they knew what they was going to do with the people in there because the people in charge of jail come in there, they get them saved too. But God is good. But it's because just that same what I'm just saying, it started working for them. See, when you live a life and you start praying for that individual, they come to the Lord, not through a service or browbeating someone. If we don't get saved tonight, No, let the Spirit of God do it. Those people really get changed. And they get a focus that they've never had without it. They get a text what heaven's going to be. The eyes of the Lord. Oh, he comes down to bless us. Our cups run over. But through that, we start touching lives. That's what it's all about. It's out there tonight. There's people all over the world. God, as you can hear my voice, you can get touched this night. The venerated crown of the head, the very soul of your feet. You can be touched in a mighty way this night. And you can be set free. You can be healed. You can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The power of that glorious power of God is real. It's not a phony thing. It's real. And I'm saying tonight, you can have it where you are if you want it. You need it as a desire, God. Say, "I want it. I want more too. I want more than, I'm a pig for the Lord. I want all he's got. I want what he has for me." This night I pray that God will bless you all in a mighty way. But think about it. You're out there to let your light so shine. That's what Jesus says. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which art in heaven. That's what it's all about. It isn't just going to say, "Well, I'm just going to bring something down and he's going to be at the back of church and somehow he's going to light and he's going to hit him." No, no. You don't even have to do that. If you live right. I got a friend of mine. He may get this on his internet pretty soon, but he found me on the internet. Brother Freedom. He says, "I know him." I was in, he was in Korea. And sure enough, he called me. He says, "You, Brother Freedom?" I said, "How did you find out?" He says, "I'm a pretty good detective." See, our lives, we're not just here for a vapor. We are a vapor, but we're to have something real happen in life. He told me, he says, 40 years ago, I knew that you had something. The same man told me. It touched me. God wants us to live above reproach. God wants to live on higher ground. God wants to live with the anointing upon us. The anointing which you've received of Him abideth in you. You need not that any man teaches you, but if the same anointing teaches you His truth and is the light, and even has He taught you, ye shall abide in Him. That's the Word of God. So, the Bible says that don't have to even have no man teach you. You just seek God, He's going to teach you. That's what God did with me. He just taught me everything I know. I don't know very much, and it's only what He taught me I know. I don't know nothing else. But God's real. He's faithful. He'll never let you go. He has a home for you in heaven. Hang in there for God, and you'll live in a place above. You'll be higher than that, Brother Freedom. You'll be there, and the stars are shining. If you live for God, there's no one going to take your place with God. You, God wants you. You're not a misfit. You're a holy fit for heaven. God wants to justify you by His glory to God tonight. God, cut your people in a mighty way. Uplift them, hold them in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen, 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 amen. God bless.
Thank you, Father. You do such a wonderful job. This was a special message. Thank you for how you anointed Brother Freedom. Thank you for how you're touching the listeners. I just praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen.